So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. Now, welcome everybody, it's Dan Lasso. Welcome to the Property Cashflow Show, and I have Richard Ignatovich. Hey, welcome Richard, how are you today?
Thank you very much. Very good, keeping very busy, thank you.
Good stuff. So Richard is our in-house mortgage expert. I'm going to talk about probably three or four things today, including mortgages, obviously, get a mortgage update. We want to talk about valuations and what's going on in the marketplace there. We're going to talk a little bit about overseas mortgages as well, and then we'll talk a little bit about equity release as well, if that's all right with you, Richard.
Sure. So
let's just get a mortgage update and kind of a state of the market. Obviously, the market changes on a monthly basis, and the last time that we spoke, it was in the middle of a stamp duty liberation. I don't know what you want to call that. You probably call it something different. But obviously that's coming to an end June, right? Is that timing right?
Yeah, the government announced a slight amendment on the last budget, and it's going to be effectively a stepping stone. So it will, from the end of June, be reduced to from 500,000 to 250,000. And then that finishes at the end of September. So we found that with the extension from the original deadline of March, the market is still very, very busy. And I was just talking to one of my investor clients on the phone earlier, and he said he's been putting in half a dozen offers per week. And in every case, particularly because he's buying, you know, your bog standard terraced house as a bread and butter investment.
Yeah.
He's getting outbid by £5,000, £10,000, £15,000, £20,000.
Wow.
Because it's not unusual to have 10, 20 viewings on a property at this point in time.
That's
a lot of that crazy. Is also, it's a combination of the stamp duty, and it's also the fact that particularly on the first time buyer properties, there's a lot of younger people who've been in lockdown for a year or more. To be blunt, they want their own place, they want out. And I think the parents are quite happy to help them with some form of a deposit to get them out as well. So the lack of supply has caused this really imbalance. And there's a hence why you're getting 10 to 20 viewings on a single property, and they're getting into a bidding price war.
I mean, it's amazing. I'm just looking on Rightmove as you're talking. So my one of the areas that I use to get an idea on what's happening with prices, I use a couple of areas, City Centre, for example, in Leeds, because that's where I invest, but also a place called Hare Hills in Leeds, which is two bed back-to-back, bread and butter. I was buying 15 years ago at £37,000, and they're going for just under £100,000 in there. So, you know, maybe 6 to 12 months ago, they were going for 70, 75.
Totally agreed. I'm invested mostly in East Manchester. So you're talking similar areas, Oldham, Ashton-under-Lyne, and the same's happened roughly around about 75 to 85,000. You were getting a decent yield on that, and now, you know, 100,000 ish seems to be the new norm. My also view on that was that some of those areas, particularly, you know, my backyard in Oldham, I felt that they were underpriced, but not being disrespectful to Oldham, wasn't a great area, but, you know, like everywhere, it's good, got the good, the bad and the ugly, and the returns are very good. And consequently, or as a result of everything that's gone down, I think people have realised that, you know, even paying 100,000 is not over the top for that type of property. Bearing in mind the average income in the UK is 25,000, and most lenders will give you around about 4 to 4.5 times income multiple. Even on a 5% new mortgage now, you should easily get 4 times. So 100,000 is probably going to be the new norm.
You see, it's all very affordable. I know people keep going on about, well, house prices keep going up, they're unaffordable. Yeah, if you live in London, when I've had this argument with people before, they're going, yeah, but everything happens in London. It's almost as though nothing exists outside of London.
Correct.
And but we still have cobbled streets and we don't have TV, except black and white TV. And we get a Shire horse as a taxi into town.
Sure.
And it drives me mad. It's like, you don't have to live in London.
I mean, in some respects, I think it's been a, let's put it this way, a good secret or a myth not to dispel. But what happened in Manchester was that...
absolutely. I tell you what else drives me mad. I'm on a proper rant today. So I'll tell you what else drives me mad. You're my therapist today, Richard. Thanks for that.
Okay.
So what drives me mad as well is, like, people think living in London is the be-all, end-all. And it's a lot of fun, but it's, you know, the difference between the haves and the have-nots is very, very clear. Although it's like that in every city centre at the moment with a level of homelessness. But I live in a four-bed villa, which you've been to, with a pool 100 metres from the beach. We pay 1,000 euros a month for that. And so when we talk about lifestyles, you can get such a nice lifestyle by not actually living in the UK. I know it's nothing to do with mortgages, but it's definitely something that people should bear in mind. A lot of what we talk about on our Wealth Creation podcast is about living the life that you want, living where you want, living the type of lifestyle that you want to do. You know, we went to the beach for the weekend. I got sunburned. Because having ginger hair, one would imagine by now I've learned that lesson.
Sure.
I still haven't learned that lesson. So, but the lifestyle is there potentially for property investors. And when people are looking, I'm surprised anybody buys in London as a buy-to-let, quite frankly, when you're getting such great yields. Why do people buy in London? It's for capital
growth. The main issue with London...
Again, for me, it's like, you might as well put 50 grand on red at roulette because it's a gamble. I don't know if prices are going up or down.
Their view has always been...
Oh, you've gone quiet there.
And the microphone's gone, Richard. Historically... has been very good.
I can't hear you. It's weird because you can hear me, but I can't hear you. I'll keep ranting while you're doing that.
Okay.
So it's like, I get why people want to live in London. It's exciting. It's where everything happens. But it's like, in order to live in London, how much money do you actually need to be able to earn in order to have that lifestyle? And you can get that lifestyle in other places. You know, it depends what you're looking for. For me, it was about building cash flow and then moving to a place where that cash flow easily covers whatever it is that you want to do so that you never have to work ever again. Okay, so let's talk about, we were going to get a mortgage update from Richard, so we can't do that. But let's talk about valuations on mortgages, because this is something that I spoke with Richard just last week about. And it was about the fact that other prices have gone up, you know, the £75,000 houses, they're now going up to £95,000. There is a problem with that. And the problem has been that when the houses then get valued, a value is going in, going, yeah, that's 75 grand, but it's now worth 95. No, it's not worth 95. And it's only worth 75 or 80 or 85 max. Oh, Richard's back in the house. Let's try and add him. It could be just me that can't hear. I don't know if other people can hear you as well. I tell you what, let's call it. Let's get you on next week. Thank you for joining us. And hopefully next week we'll have less of a technical issue.
Okay.
Right. Thanks, Richard.
Cheers.
Okay. So with the valuations then, the valuers are actually downvaluing some of the stuff that they're valuing back down to previous levels. Now, think about this from a valuer's point of view. You've got rapid house price inflation. So is it a bump in the road? Is it just a thing where the price is going to shoot up like Bitcoin and then it's going to come back down? And that's what the valuers are actually worried about. And so with that in mind, the valuers are now downvaluing some of these valuations. So what happens is, the 75 grand house that's now going on for £97,000, on Rightmove, it's 97 grand. And yes, people are putting in offers over and above that £97,000. But the problem that you're going to have is that when it comes to value, they're not valuing it at 97 grand, they're valuing it at 85 or 80 or £75,000. Because the word that this is going to be a bump in the road. And so when that happens... Yeah, the house prices have gone up, and they've gone up really rapidly. But now the house is going to come back on the market. We're going to miss the deadline for the stamp duty completion. We're going to come back on the market. And what's going to happen? All these houses are going to come back on the market. What's going to happen? Those prices are going to drop. So if you're worried that house prices are going up, and this is really important for property sources, the house prices are shooting up right now. No one's able to property source because you stick it on with an estate agent. We have 28 viewings. We have 13 different offers way over and above the actual value of the property. You don't need to worry about that. You just need to hang on for a couple of months. There's a saying in investing in stocks and shares, time in the market is more important than timing the market. And I would say that exactly the same with property as well. However, for certain times in Forex, for example, which is when we run the unemployment in the US unemployment numbers, when the prices are going to go one way or the other. And it's knowing what these timescales are. And it's the same in property. What is the timescale? And the ability to be able to read what's going on in a marketplace is absolutely vital. And for some reason, I don't seem too bad at it. And we'll see. We'll see in the next couple of months to see what happens with house prices. But I think a lot of those sales that have gone through that are going to fall through, you're going to have a lot of difficulty with those as a buyer, because it's going to fall through. But then all these properties go back on the market, the prices are going to go back down. Then you can go in and start mopping up. So having cash is a great place to be right now. So we were going to talk about as well, but unfortunately Richard's not here. We're going to talk about overseas mortgages, mainly because I need an overseas mortgage. and we're quite lucky here. So let's talk about this. So at the moment, we are buying the place that we're in. At least we think we are. We're going to do a buy to rent, where you rent a place and then you put your money down and then over. It's like a lease option, effectively. And then in 2 years, 3 years' time, we're then going to buy the place. And so we have to raise finance via a mortgage. And the mortgage can either be one from the UK, in which case we refinance some of our other properties, pull out a whole bunch of equity and buy this place. And that's one way of doing it. And then the second way of doing it is to get a mortgage actually here in Spain, because I'm now classed as a tax resident. One of the downsides of Brexit, let's not get onto Brexit, but one of the downsides for Brexit, and if you voted for Brexit, you're a moron. I've just got to say that. But the downside for me here is that now I'm going to get taxed both in the UK and once they've deducted the UK tax, I'll also get taxed here in Spain. We've got a worldwide wealth tax here, and some of the rates are different as well. So I'm going to have to pay tax now in two countries. So thank you for that to everybody who voted for Brexit. But one of the benefits of that is that now that I'm technically a tax resident here in Spain as well, is that I'm then eligible for mortgages here in Spain. And so now the conversation surrounds ourselves with, do we release equity from the UK, which is probably preferable because I actually understand the UK market and mortgages and all of that kind of thing, or do I release equity do I generate a mortgage here in Spain? And so that's kind of the options. That's one of the things we're going to talk with Richard about, which we'll probably put on to next week's. But look, if you're buying right now and you're worried that house prices are shooting up, I don't think that you need to worry overly. I just think you need to wait for a period of time. And over a period of time, prices are going up anyway. And the other thing I want to say on this is that London is this own unique beast of a property market. It's almost like you could wrap a wrapper around London, because it runs by its own rules. We have prices shooting up and going down, shooting up and going down. Where, you know, like in Leeds, for example, we are at all-time highs on some of these properties in Leeds. And in fact, if I just look at City Centre studio apartments in Leeds, this is one of the ways that I test what's going on in the marketplace. I look at studio apartments. Let's go lowest price here. Lowest price. And we'd look at what these are going for. So there's one here for 70 grand, but it's cash buyers only. It's cash buyers only because it's too small, by the way. But the next studio apartment is £110,000. That's a lot of money in Britannia House as well. I've seen this property come up time and time again, by the way, or certainly properties coming up in Britannia House. It's not city centre. It's kind of city centre. And they're asking for £110,000 for it. That's a lot of money. Whilst properties are going up in London, and then they crash, and then they go up. In Leeds, in the last 20 years, we are currently at all-time highs. And we didn't get the same that was happening in London happening in Leeds. We didn't get prices rapidly going up. And when we had the crash in 2008, we've only just got to the stage where prices have started to overtake it. And they have overtaken it in the last 6 to 12 months because of pandemic and because of stamp duty changes. And also, what's really interesting is that we've now got this change on the style or type of properties that people are really interested in. So city centre flats, for example, the studio, I'm surprised that you're getting 110 for a studio like this, given that after living in a studio flat for 12 months, most people are going, I never want to do that again. So what people are now buying? Now, it could be city centre buy-to-let owners that are buying these, but the rents have significantly dropped on city centre apartments. Let's have a look at studios in Leeds city centre. And again, I use Leeds because it's where I know, it's where I invest in and have done for the last 22 years. One bed flat for 488, that's very cheap, but it doesn't look like a great location. Cole Lane, 500. Studio apartment, 525. That's lower than it should be. It should be 550, 595, around there. So rents are definitely lower, but you're still pulling out a 6% yield on that. That's not bad. If you compare yields to London, Britannia House, 550. It's not the same apartment that I just discussed a few moments ago, but there's a lot of studio apartments. West Point, for example, has a lot of studio apartments coming on. So city centre flats for rent, people don't want to live in city centres anymore. Not to rent, and this is what's confusing me. People are wanting to buy for city centre, but they're not wanting to rent in city centre. And if you're a landlord and you're buying stuff in Leeds city centre thinking you're going to rent it, I think you're going to have a bit of a problem. We've got one beds as well, by the way. Let's have a look at one beds. LS2. I've got a one bed up in LS2 for rent. Lowest price, that one. So I've got a one bed in LS2. I mean, it's just crazy. In LS1, you've got 162. In LS2, for apartments, let's have a look and see how many we've got. Wowzers. I mean, LS2, looking at the map, is fairly big. But LS2, 281 apartments. Let's just narrow down the search criteria, a specific postcode, and do quarter mile around. So even then, you've got 41 results. So this is, let's just do one beds only. You've got 41 results within a quarter mile radius of I'm not going to give you the location exactly. Oh, hang on. One bed to one bed. So you've got 14 results in LS2, quarter of a mile around. That's still quite a lot. And the lowest priced one bed is where you've got some at 625, which actually not great locations. And then the next one's 695. This is really important. This is about you doing your research. You know, if you're looking to get a buy-to-let mortgage, you've also got to do your research on what's renting right now. And you've got to try and read what's the lay of the game. Where's the momentum going? Where's it flowing to? And being able to have that knowledge is valuable if you're buying in a particular location. So, for example, we had a client and they came through and said, oh, I've got four flats for 15% discount. They're all in this one block. And it's like, well, hang on a minute. Why is there four flats in one block? And then they say things like, well, it's off one landlord and he's just had enough. Okay, get that. Why has that one landlord had enough of this particular location? Is he selling all his others? No, just these four. And it's about spotting the red flags. What's going on here? And we have bought actually one. We bought four units in the same location. And at the time we ran a lettings agency, we knew what was going on. Great area to rent at the time. And he just wanted out. He was just fed up of being a landlord. And they got that. We actually bought all of these units 25% below market value, which was amazing, by the way. One of the benefits of owning a lettings agency is that you actually get to see deals before they come on the marketplace. Because they're like, Dan, do you want these? And I'm like, yeah, we'll have them. We bought them way below market value. We're talking 70 bed on one beds here that are now valued at £110,000, £120,000, which is amazing, right? Plus, we're getting the rent from them every month. But you've got to understand the lie of the land. You've got to understand that with a pandemic, people don't want to live in city centre apartments with no balcony, with windows that open just that little bit because of the safety mechanism. They weren't allowed out of their apartments for a year other than to go to the shops. So you've got to read that. Now, interestingly, those house prices are still really high, but tenants have not yet come back into the city centre. So you've got to work on this. You've got to understand how this is actually going to work when you're buying into properties and you're looking at getting mortgages on these properties, because these one bed or studio apartments at 110,000 that are then renting at 550. Let's just look at what the yield is on that. So 550 times 12 is 6,600 divided by 110 is a 6% yield. That's not bad. You know, it's not bad. Let's do the maths on a mortgage there, minus 20%. So 88,000. Let's times it by 4% on the mortgage for now. It's 3,520 divided by 12 is 293 plus £100 service charge. So you're talking about £400 a month to generate £550. So 150 times 12 is 1,800 divided by £22,000 deposit. It's an 8.1% return on investment. That's not including your solicitor's fees and all those other extra fees. It's not including stamp duty. So obviously there's a stamp duty threshold freedom right now that you're not having to pay for. But by the time this completes, you will have to pay for it. And if it's your second property, you're having to pay an extra bit of stamp duty because there's a second part of that. So it's not looking great. I'd be interested in knowing who is buying these. Is it people who live in city centres and wanting to get on the housing market? I have no idea. What I do know is that as a buy-to-let landlord, these are not great investments right now because your rents are very, very low compared to how much you're actually buying it for. So who knows what's going to happen with that marketplace? I'd be interested to see how that looks in the next 6 to 12 months. It worries me. If you're looking at buy-to-let right now, I would actually slow it down a little bit because house prices are artificially high. I think they're going to come back down. And rents are artificially low in the city centres and they're going to go back up. And then that does affect your ability to get the mortgage that you actually want because the affordability criteria, what is that? Is that 1.45 now? So the 393 a month, which is what the interest-only aspect of the mortgage will be at 4%, if that's for the mortgage that you're getting right now. And people go, yeah, but I can get a mortgage for 2.5%. Yeah, today. What happens when that mortgage expires? We've got inflation coming. How do we control inflation? Through interest rates. What happens when interest rates rise? And unfortunately, we've had, historically, the last 10 years, very, very, very low interest rates. But I remember when we lived in black and white, we had no shoes. I remember having 6 and 7% interest rates. And we used to do our calculations based on 6%. But let's just do 393, which was at 4% of £88,000, I think it was, times 1.45. Just to get the affordability, you need a rent of 569. Just to get the affordability to get the mortgage in place, basing that and assuming that on a 1.45 multiplier, your rents aren't enough. So that's going to affect the type of mortgage that you get and the mortgage deal that you get potentially. I mean, that, again, a lot of different criteria in here, but these are the conversations that you should be having. And if you're not having right now, you need to go out and find someone to have these levels of conversation. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about and you can't do the calculations as fast as this, you need to be getting to the point where you can actually run the calculations as fast as this, and you have a little spreadsheet that you just put in all the numbers and it does all the calculations for you. You need to get yourself to the level where you're looking at not only what the buying amount is, what the deposit amount is, what the stamp duty amount is, what the rent is, what the mortgage is, but you also want to know all of that in alignment with what's happening, what's the lay of the land, where is the pandemic, what direction is it steering us with? Are property prices artificially high and are they going to drop, and what's the reasoning for that, like we've just discussed? And are city centre rents artificially low and are they going to go back up, and why is that? And have those levels of conversation with different people, because different people are going to have different ideas based on their experience, their education, what training courses they've been on, what how many properties they've got, and so on. And so you need to start piling up this experience from other people, and then you pick the person that you think, yeah, actually, Dan's got the best idea, or Dan talking absolute rubbish. He doesn't know what he's talking about, so I'm not going to listen to him. Whatever that happens to be for you, that's what you've got to do. And you've got to start getting yourself to a point where you're making your own decisions based on what you think is going to happen in the marketplace using all of the information that you've got. Anyway, that's us for today. Share about Richard's microphone. We'll get him on probably not next week. We've got somebody else lined up, but the week after, just remembered. and we're going to talk about rent to rent next week, which is pretty interesting. So join us again on Wednesday. It should be 12 noon UK time. And other than that, we'll speak to you soon. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.